Okay, then we'll see you Wednesday. It'll be very, very busy, so just be ready for that. We're coming, yeah, we're coming to the camp.
Monday, February 22, 3:00 p.m., Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting, 3:30 p.m., Dakota County Board of Equalization.
That's what it looks like. Got stuff.
I think he's in the napkin.
Okay.
3:00. Let's see, 1, 2, we got a corner. Yep. I'll call the meeting to order, and we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. I think Bob will be here shortly. He is in the building, so I just sent him a text, so I'll assume he'll be here shortly.
Janet Gill?
Yes.
Scott Love?
Yes.
Robert Gacy? Larry Albanesius?
Yes, here.
Jorge Lonsby?
Yes, here.
All right. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Okay, we'll start with our tabled items, and the first item relates to the windmills, and I know that was on the planning and zoning. Did you get a chance to go to planning and zoning this week, Larry?
Yeah, they're still revising some other things.
Okay, they're revising some of the...
Some more stipulations.
Okay.
It won't get out of committee until for another week. Month.
Month or so. Okay, great. I'm glad you're there. So they're working away on it then. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, I just about called you to see if you wanted to go. But
I have another meeting on that same night for the Rural Conservation District, the same night that you do that one.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so we'll sit here on that one in the next month or so. And then item number B is the alarm system, and I don't know if we've heard anything more on that, Kim.
I sent Mike Wells proposed changes asking if there was anything we could work out, and he hasn't answered me, so.
So we're still in negotiations, huh?
Hopefully.
All right. So we'll hopefully hear from him by the upcoming meeting. And we do have the contract in place, right?
No,
not yet. When does it come due? Is it June?
I don't know. From the email that Kevin got, I don't believe there was a signed contract.
Okay.
And this one was dated 2020 with multiple things I asked him that we could change. And
okay. Good. So changes have been proposed?
Yes.
All right. Item number 2, public comments. The board will hear any comments about any items that are not on the agenda. Do we have anybody here for public comment today? Okay, no public comment, so we will move to item 3, which is the consent agenda. On this, we have the previous minutes from February 8th, 2021. We have the payroll claims from July 7th through the 20th and approval of accounts payable. On a couple of comments here, Bob and I, thank Bob for coming in, went through the accounts payable. A couple of things that we noted were the sales tax. We need to work with our management folks to get together and sit down and look at the different places where we can get sales tax exemption. We paid about $200 and some in sales tax this month that we are an exempt as a county, so we can save a little bit of money there. Places like the hardware store, the Wilms Hardware, Staples, Walmart, Baumgars, I mean, some local entities that we just probably need to sit down and get those departments so they have a card or an account or something that we can use. So that was one area that we will work with our elected officials on. There were some flowers that were purchased that really needed to go through for a deaf funeral arrangement that we really need to go through with our employee pop fund rather than through the county funding. So we're going to get that switched. Just little things that we picked up. And then we are still waiting for some detail on a retriever repair. And then we'll should have that fine. But that was just a few things we noted. Accounts payable. And there was some clothing. I think there was some clothing in the health department. I need to figure out if that's grant funded or not. So that was accounts payable. So for the most part, it was just little things that we just need to get some more documentation on.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda items with one more thing
with the payroll.
Oh. Okay.
Payroll too. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I might have you make the motion in a second. Okay, and payroll, a couple comments there. There was at least one timesheet that we need to substitute personal time for comp time because the person put in for comp time, but they didn't have enough comp time. But they do have personal time, so we'll have to visit with that individual. They weren't here today. We'll be here tomorrow, but we think that'll be an easy switch on that timesheet. Holiday pay. Obviously, holiday pay hit this last week. There was quite a bit of holiday pay with the President's Day holiday paid out. And then there was one position change. Jen from the health department was previously our emergency response coordinator. We put in for, there's a position, emergency response coordinator and disease. I got it right here what this was.
Natasha's here.
Oh, Natasha, you want it? Yeah.
Yeah, so disease investigation specialist is what it is. So she'll be the backup for that, as well as any NIMS, which is a training that we have to have for our mass events and things that we have. So she'll be the trainer for that too.
So, and Jen's been here about four years and kind of the right-hand man in that department. So she has definitely taken on a lot of responsibility with this COVID and is now going to take on some additional with the disease management system and the national, be a trainer for NIMS as well. So her proposal for a salary was to go from 17 and a quarter up to 19. And I know Bob and Troy are on that health board as well. So that was a proposal, and I am okay with that. So I guess that's just wanted to bring you up to speed on those payroll items as well. Any other questions or comments about those accounts payable and payroll?
The retriever, is that a tank retriever?
It was on the roads department.
It must be.
It was $7,000 for a retriever. Maybe, oh, Fred's here. Oh.
It is a disc-like thing that mulches and pulls in the gravel off the edges of the road. It mounts on the front hitch, and it got bent, and we had it repaired. It had to be completely replaced is what it had to be. So with spring coming up, we cut it.
I think we just need maybe a little more detail because it looked like more of an estimate than a bill. I think you were looking at that one, Bob, wasn't it?
Yeah, it just said the one fee, Fred, for the whole thing. It didn't have hours.
It is all one piece. It is a front hitch for the retriever is what it is.
It didn't have hours. It just had a bill, a one bill and one fee.
What it is he already had, he's the one that builds them. This particular one that the county owns, so I mean, wasn't like it was interchangeable with another one. He already had one built. We took it up to him. He replaced it, our bent one with a new one, and that's where it was.
Oh, it's just kind of like a part.
Yes.
It's just an expensive part.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We were thinking
it's part of the retriever.
Okay.
The front hitch of it. Front mount.
We thought it might have been a golden retriever. We didn't know what that was.
I thought it was a tank retriever, like a military tank retriever.
I knew what it was.
Just ask Joan.
Yeah. That was a new one. We hadn't seen that one before. So those were the items on the accounts payable and the payroll that we wanted to just make you aware of. But but we feel like we've got it. Any other questions?
If there's no other questions, I'll make a motion on the consent agenda items A through C with the adjustments on the accounts payable with the sales tax and with the adjustments of the payroll. Is it Jen?
Jen.
That's my motion.
Right. I can't remember. Last name starts with an A.
Anchor Star.
I'll second.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. All right. We are down to new business already. And on new business, we are going to get a bid for a bridge repair project, Waterbury South, called the Burcham Bridge. And that's 4 miles south of the U.S. Dixon County line.
T Avenue? Yes. This is Brian McDonald.
Hey. Oh. I had the mask on.
J.D.O.
I think we already have a copy of all this. No, we don't.
Got a lot of them. Extras today. Huh?
Ready?
We got them. We all got our pieces of paper. Yep.
There are three bids. The first one is from Nelson and Rock Contracting in Ottawa.
Nelson Rock, okay.
$270,096.
Start date, I believe, is on the next page. June 1st of 21
is completion date.
Start date or completion date?
Completion.
Start date.
I said completion date. Is that completion?
Excuse me.
He did. But it's start.
Second one's from Tyson Construction out of North Fork, Nebraska.
Looks like Tyson, but it's spelled Tyson.
Oh, no, okay. T H E I S E N?
Yeah.
T H E I S E N. His total bid is $275,993.98. Bidder agrees the date will start from July 26, 2021. Third one is from Midwest Infrastructure Incorporated out of Lincoln, Nebraska.
Are they on this sheet?
Lincoln
Midwest.
Oh.
You His bid is $288,220.54. His start time is March 29th, 2021.
Aaron Lowe's Nelson. Have you guys dealt with Nelson before?
They actually just was awarded a contract for Jackson Bridge. I had ridden Jackson here a couple weeks ago.
I've dealt with them too. I don't have any issues with them.
And they have the low bid and starting in June.
Assume
that's acceptable?
What kind of a completion date would you estimate they would have on them?
Top of my head, I had 60 days on it, I think.
Oh, you did have a
60 calendar. Yeah, basically, it would have just been a fixed completion number of calendar days.
Okay, so have we dealt with the Lincoln Midwest people before?
No.
Okay, and obviously Tyson, we know we've used them a lot.
Yes.
And Nelson's on their first project with us right now.
Is that the one we just had reviewed with the last time? The Nelson one? Was that the one we had?
Yeah.
Okay. Because there was a big discrepancy between the
big
bids.
Price.
Yeah.
Okay. Nelson Rod's got us earlier start date too, so they can then put her in our cheaper. Are you okay with both of them?
Yeah, I haven't had any issues with
them. I make a motion we accept.
Can I make one suggestion? I'd make a motion that you award it to Nelson Rock pending your review of his numbers. Because right now everything is, it's unit prices.
Yeah.
I'll have you just email me a copy of that.
You're going to review the numbers?
Yeah, we'll put a bid tab together, make sure all their math is right. I've had problems before where got to make sure everything adds up. The bid is an accumulation of all the unit prices times the quantity. Well, every now and then you'll find a math error, and it'll change it. That gives you an out if there is a problem.
So, not to change your motion or anything like that, but if that's the case, why couldn't we just turn it over to the road committee?
They're going to award it pending, is what he wanted to do.
Ahead and award it to Nelson and Rock. Let him review the numbers. He'll give a recommendation back to you. And if you want to change your heart.
So basically, we'll take the low bid, assuming it's everything.
Assuming his numbers are correct.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. Is I'm trying to eliminate it to coming back to the board and being back on the agenda.
Okay.
If we just refer it over to the road committee, unless I'm seeing something wrong or hearing something wrong, and letting them, you know, making the emotion to let them make the decision once review everything. What's that?
I don't think it has to come back.
Okay.
Well, isn't the assumption if they bid $270, that's what they got to pay?
Yeah. Come back if there was a problem.
Okay.
If
there's no problem, I just put the contracts together, set them together. The next time you would see it was when you're signing the contract. So I don't think you've got to do anything beyond that. That's why I've always worried.
What's your name?
Brian McDonald. Right. I'm a JEO. Sorry.
No, I heard of him.
Yeah. So that's your motion.
I ain't making no motion.
What was Larry started a motion. What was your motion, Larry?
That we accept their bid, like he said, contingent on them being correct. The figures all add up.
And everything, if everything adds up,
yeah,
it's a go. Okay.
Okay, I'll second it.
All right. So we got a motion and a second to accept the Nelson and Rock contracting at $270,096, subject to a review of the numbers, and we'll take roll on that.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
No.
Motion carried.
Okay, motion carried.
Just if you get a chance, just fax them or email them over to me when you get a chance.
Okay, I will.
You guys have a good day.
Thank you.
Item number two under new business is Sarah Deck, Juvenile Diversion Coordinator, is requesting us to review her 21-25 Dakota County Juvenile Comprehensive Community Plan. It basically allows us to be eligible for a grant dollars. And I know you emailed that out this morning.
I did, and I'm a little concerned that it had some significant, like, formatting errors because...
It came through kind of weird on...
Yeah, I was using Google Chrome, and then it came in Word, and then I was on Google Chrome, and then I put it back to Word when I sent it from home on Saturday, so...
Okay.
Those errors have been corrected. I'm certainly able to send out a new plan to everyone, so, because I have that in my office. But basically, our comprehensive community plan is really looking at the continuum of services that we are providing to youth who are pre-adjudicated, either at risk or not at risk for involvement in the juvenile justice system. We've had this plan for a while. We've had this plan because it's required by statute in order to access community-based aid grant dollars, which those grant dollars right now, they fund juvenile diversion, they fund a part of our Homer SRO, and they fund all our alternatives to detention, so our electronic monitoring, our tracking, those things, so the county doesn't have to pay for those out of pocket. This year, the plan's a little different because we got a data packet put together by the Juvenile Justice Institute at the University of Nebraska-Omaha. They did that for all counties. And this data summary, so the data summary, it's not my work, it's from this Dakota County Needs Assessment. But this really gives us a view of what's going on in our juvenile justice system from the youth perspective, family perspective, community, policy, et cetera. And I think that, you know, there are areas of strength in this as well as things that we could definitely work on. When you look at the table, this comprehensive list of services, this is just things that we already have that exist. What we have for diversion, what we have is our alternatives to detention. And when you get into the community analysis form, this is where we're really looking at what our juvenile service team identified as need areas. So things that either out of that data jumped out at people as problematic or kind of what people were personally concerned about. So, and then the final table, and I do apologize that you all, what you have is kind of subpar for how it looks, but the gaps to be filled, those are other things that really were based on the data that we want to work on. So one thing, 3B filings for truancy rates have increased over a 5-year period. That I serve kids right now in diversion when we're looking at truancy, and it's hard. It's a hard problem. It's hard for the county attorney. It's hard for probation. It's a really one of those issues that's pretty, it's multifaceted, has a lot of issues. So we want to really work with the school and look at, are there other therapeutic things we can be doing? Are there other services, skill-based services we could be providing? And then looking at our alternatives to detention, enhancing that with maybe some earlier intervention therapeutic services. So I know that's a lot, and for me it all feels like pretty commonplace because it's where I'm dealing every day. But I do wonder if you all have any questions or things that you're wondering about.
That's a lot of information.
It is.
But it's valuable information. And I know that in my prior years here, when you came, I know that you do a phenomenal job and appreciate everything that you do.
Thank you.
How much is this grant usually every year do we get?
So the grant, the community-based aid grant, is our number went up a little bit. It's usually around $80,000. I think they're changing the form. It's a formula grant, so based on your juvenile population, but they also are taking in the rate of poverty, and then I think English language learners was included. They sort of they've changed the formula. The Crime Commission has a little bit. Mm-hmm. I want to say it's about $89,000.
And so we submit this report, and then we find out.
So report we do every 4 years. This community plan we have to do every 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that are in the community plan, we don't have to pay for things that are in the plan, but we are able to request funding for things in the community plan. Anything not in the community plan, we're not able to request funding for.
Okay, so that's why you want a very comprehensive...
That's why you want a comprehensive plan, because you can't address anything that's not in the plan. So it's not necessarily, it's like, we talk about transportation issues in the plan. We're not going to be able, through the grant, to fund a bus. Much as I would love to, you know, it's like, I can't go pick kids up from school. But we know it contributes to issues people face, whether that, you know, whether that be getting to school, getting home from school, parents getting to work, et cetera. Like, we know it plays into it. We want to make sure we're taking a holistic approach.
This program saves the taxpayers a ton of money. Yes? Yes.
And court time.
And court, that's what I mean. It saves a ton of money.
Yep.
I just over the years, I knew a few people that were unfortunate to come see you, but they learned from it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a great program.
And it certainly just doesn't fund me. I mean, this plan is not just about what I do. So I'm I lead the juvenile services team too. I mean, it's part of my job, you know, through the county, is I take care of that team. But so this isn't just about things I want or I need. I mean, that certainly is not what this is about. So.
So I'll make a motion. So this comprehensive report basically has all the different projects or need areas that we could potentially use some funding for.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'll make a motion to approve the comprehensive plan to submit for our community grant dollars. Is that what we need here? 21 to 25 Dakota County Juvenile Plant Comprehensive Community
I'll
Plan.
I'll second it.
Larry? Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Thanks for all your hard work on this.
Thanks,
thank you.
Yes,
thank you for your time.
This is a little easier to read this. All right, we are down to, so that's our new business items. We're down to miscellaneous. Fred, we have Fred on the agenda next with a road report, which was in our packet.
7th, February 7th through the 20th, road maintenance, 0 hours, overtime, 5.5, snow removal, 300, 0 on rock and gravel, barricading, 25 hours, signs and barricades, 25, and no road complaints yet, but with the warming up, I'm sure we're going to get some.
A lot of snow removal. That's what you mean.
But you got to go through the mud to get to the spring, so.
Yeah.
Did Cousin Dave make it out to you like you wanted today?
Yes.
All right, perfect.
I talked to the operator. He said the reason he doesn't wing back is the yards come right up to where the mailbox are sitting, and he's had residents concerned that when he wings it back that he hits their yard, so he leaves it alone.
And there's, what, 15 people that live out there, roughly, I think, 15 houses, and yeah, there's a few people that think that it needs to be done, and probably a few that don't want it done. I get it. Yeah. Well, thank you for going out there.
All right. Well, it looks like, hopefully the snow will slow down, Fred. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, Sheriff, we have a report from Sheriff, the jail, January jail report. Or is this February? January.
Good afternoon, folks.
Good afternoon.
So January, average inmates, county 76, federal 26, juvenile 0, and in-house 102. 2021 calendar average was county 76, federal inmates 26, juvenile 0, and whole in-house 102. And I want to tell you that juvenile 0, you know where that comes from? Well, a lot of it has to do with this gal that was just up here.
Oh, her grant.
Sure.
Keeps them in line.
2021 fiscal average inmates, county 68, federal 33, juveniles 0.03, and in-house 101. So federal income for 2021 is January Marshals, 55,052, ICE was 0, Omaha, South Dakota Marshals, 130, and January federal revenue was 55,182. Fiscally for Marshals is 471,418, ICE 8,261, Fiscal for Omaha and South Dakota Marshals is $455, and fiscal federal is $408,134. Calendar, 2021 calendar so far is $55,182. January contracts was zero, and fiscal county contracts, $4,038. November phone commissary commission is $10,844. January, we got down to $61.18 per inmate, which is the lowest I've seen in quite some time. Jail spent $195,000 for the month of January. Jail is at 57% of totally a yearly estimated budget, which is 1% under budget for the fiscal year. We was at 60% of the total yearly estimated budget for January in 2020. We spent $22,107 less than allotted for January, which was 10% under budgets for the month. January bookings, Sheriff's Office 42, the South Sioux PD 31, NSP 7, self turn-ins were 3, feds 3, others 1, for a total of 87. And Dakota County, out of them inmates, 32 were Dakota County residents. Other Nebraska counties was 20 of them, Sioux City 26, other Iowa counties 6, other states 1, and homeless 2, for a total of 87.
What's the total capacity in the jail again, Sheriff?
136.
So we're over 100.
Give or take. Okay. And that's including work release and stuff.
Just, I got a question real quick. On the juvenile, what does Woodbury charge us nowadays? I know back in the day it was all over the place.
Gosh, it hasn't changed much. I think it's still at 200 and some bucks. I don't know. I don't see a lot of that.
Okay.
It's crazy expensive. And
I know
you were
is.
Right by saving a ton of money with diversion. I tell you that with the county attorney and her doing that. It's a very good alternative, especially for juveniles, because that's where the money comes.
Yeah, I knew it was expensive, but I didn't remember how much it was.
Well, looks good. Your budget looks good. The numbers look good. Lowest in 61-18. What do you?
Well, that's pretty low.
Yeah.
I've seen it down in the 40s.
Oh, have you? Okay.
A couple years ago, when that jail's completely full, mm-hmm. and we're bringing in. Especially when we were getting the feds and ICE too, uh-huh. it brought that number down because we're bringing in the money. So, that's
looks
pretty good.
Looks been pretty good.
Better than any number last year.
Right. Any other questions for Sheriff?
Thank you.
Good job. Okay, item number C on the miscellaneous is Jacob Acero.
How are we doing today?
Greetings.
I'm Jacob Acero. I'm a lieutenant over at the Dakota County Sheriff's Office in the jail. I'm here today to notify you that, give you notification that we are looking to negotiate with you guys. Our contract set to expire this next July, or this upcoming July. The contract dictates that I notify you by March 15th, so that's why I'm here today to advise you that we plan to negotiate with you. And obviously, we'd like to get an early jump on it, and like to get it done, you know, as soon as possible, as soon as we can. I know numbers don't come in, you know, in prime time to get it done when we wanted to, but, you know, we're all going to come here and court with you guys, see if we can get something done.
Yeah, you could have waited 2 more weeks to come see us, you know.
Well, Scott, I really hope they're gonna let you do that this year. It's the only reason I came over here to ask you that.
Is there a team that does this? I mean, this is the first time I've been involved.
Yeah, there will be 3 of us that come over here. Scott's really good at arguing about stuff.
Okay, thank you.
I know we'll generally sit down and, you know, we'll bring some of the areas of our contract and discuss with you, you know, pay, work conditions, stuff like that, and we'll sit down and hopefully get a deal hammered out so we can sign a contract that's beneficial to all of us.
How many years is the contract normally?
In the past, it's really depended on what the county budget looks like. Years past, we've taken one-year contracts to see where the money was going to be next year. You know, some years money's been good, the outlook was good, so we've signed 3-year contracts, so it really just depends on what we mutually agree upon.
Okay. What's the current?
This one was a 3-year contract.
3-year, okay.
Yeah, we signed it in 2018, so it's okay. Set to expire July 1st of this year.
So some between March, so you notify us before March 15th, and then we just start setting up meetings to talk about.
Yep, whenever you guys want to sit down, I mean, we've kind of gathered already, and we're ready to sit down and talk with you guys. So, I mean, obviously, I don't know that you're going to be able to project out that far. past next fiscal year, but hopefully we can have an idea of where we're at when we come and sit down.
Okay.
Yeah, the longer one can go with it, obviously, is better for everybody. But like Jacob said, it just all depends on the county monies. You know, mm-hmm. I recall of my 8 year that, you know, we had a 3 year, then we started doing some year to year, and just mm-hmm. because of the money situation. But yeah, okay, well, yeah. Let's.
All right. Well, we'll be in touch. I know we this is new for many of us here. I think Scott's probably the only one that was on it last time, but we'll.
I spoke with Sergeant Hammer before I come over here, and he asked if my indicating to you that the FOP wanted to open up negotiations, if you would accept that for FOP wide, or if you would rather him get on the agenda as well and come over and notify you that.
What's the legal legalities of that, Kim? He's asking if Hammer can.
We probably need someone from the sheriff's office.
That's what I figured.
It's two different contracts, isn't it?
Tell Hammer, nice try.
Yeah, yes, so I said yes.
Were they negotiated together last time?
No, we negotiated separately.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Jacob.
All right, so we'll have to probably set a team with our folks as well to do that. Do we need to do that today, or do we wait till we hear that from the other group? Do it all at once.
You could probably
wait and then set a team. Okay. All right, so we will be coming back to that when we get the other notification. Item number D, a miscellaneous, is Kathy is going to come forward and tell us about a letter of support that she's requesting related to the clerk of the district court.
Hi, Kathy Wilson, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Good.
some of you might be familiar with the LV 102. About 4 years ago, they attempted to do this as well through the state. The state's wanting to give the county the option of not having a district court clerk. With that being said, it's their looking at it as a benefit to the county, where they would take over this and they would take over that. But the county would be actually paying for the state to take over the department. They would be losing out on all the child support benefits. They would be losing out on the passport benefits, as well as the public. The difference between state and public, or our office, I think you'll notice a lot of difference there, is the how we cater to the public, where when you go to a state office, you get a limit of, you have to know what your case number is. The help is not there as well as it would be as us. So. And you guys get my copy of my little letter there that I was kind of going off of.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. On the back side.
The county's going to still be required to maintain the ex officio office and staff. So there's not really going to be a savings cost there at all. They're going to have to maintain the space at the office, the supplies. Anything that's there now would stay. Anything if they wanted to rebuild, the county would be liable to do that as well. With passports, last year we did over $12,000 in passports. With us being closed 3 months of the year because we didn't allow anybody in with the COVID, normally we do about $28,000 a year. $28,000, on an average. And that was when we had more of an open schedule too. So we lost 3 months because of COVID, plus we shortened our time and we made it as a appointment only. So dollar-wise, you know, we probably could have easily gone to about $30,000. That would be going down.
Well, I don't think anybody was looking to travel outside the country anytime soon.
No, they probably couldn't anyway, but they couldn't get a passport if they wanted to either. So, but anyway, that's just a county fund where that would automatically go to the state as well. Child support, I just got our new, let me look for it here. our award of funds for child support alone for this next coming term from October to the September is $75,000. That is what we were awarded for funding, which would, that again would go to the state. You know, dollar-wise, it's not going to be an effective thing for the county. In the letter, they just make it sound like it's going to be a benefit to them, but when you look at the dollars, you're really not going to benefit from that as well. You know, just serving the citizens is really what this is all about. That's why we're there. That's why that position is there. We need to make sure that they know what is out there for them. And, you know, that's one of the things that we really pride ourselves in on that part of it. Do you guys have questions on what this little legislation is? I know they, like I said, they've tried it before. They've done it with, I think, the state auditors. It lasted a couple of years, and they gave it back to the county, that type of thing.
You know, my theory on this, and you know, years ago, and I don't know the exact years, but obviously when the state, you know, had control of the assessor's office, mm-hmm. and when the county took that back, you know, whenever the state's involved, obviously things are complicated. Mm-hmm. I get that. I've seen that. I went through that. Yeah. And I ended up in Lincoln trying to, with another commissioner and the assessor at the time, trying to hire an attorney to fight against the state, you know, with their programming, and it was a mess. Yeah. It was a big mess. And but as far as I'm concerned, I mean, if you can, you know, a support for the opposition of it, I mean, no question about it. Just because I think my personal opinion is, the less you can keep them out of your county business,
right,
the better off you are.
And so far, you know, just to date, I've got 24 counties that they are objecting it, and then NACO itself has finally put their vote in, and they are against it as well. So of all the counties that have turned in or sent an email so far, I've got 24, not counting us, and NACO. So, you know, there's a lot of those real little towns that they could benefit from it, but they're the ones that already are working together, both together, and it's, you know, they hire accordingly to that, but in a bigger area like this, it's really not a benefit, in our opinion. But
so NACO, have they put out anything on this? NACO?
We just got a.
That'd be very helpful to
email.
See their
sure,
stuff
I
too.
Yeah. I can have them send an email out, but yeah.
The rationale, you know, the pros and cons.
The pros and cons, sure.
And the costs, sure. And yeah.
Yeah, because we had a webinar with NACO, yeah. And everybody kind of gave their opinions, and then NACO came back about a week later with their vote on it, so. Mm-hmm.
Well, because yeah. I'm with Scott, I like the idea of keeping the control
sure.
local, but
yeah.
Just curious what,
yeah.
the,
what
more
why in, they
why, ha, why they're even thinking this, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Money.
Money, absolutely.
It's all about money.
exactly. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I can see what I can do on that for you.
So the question on the $75,000, Kathy, you said for child support, is that just towards our recovery?
It can be used, yeah, towards our recovery. It can be used towards, like, you know, we can use it for telephone lines and any kind of
that's just
monies that come out.
Is that the there. Only money you get from the state?
No.
No.
We get about $7,000 quarterly.
Okay.
Yeah, and, you know,
and I saw Kathy before, and one of the questions I had for her was, sometimes these things that, this legislation coming out of the wherever it comes from, it's good to see who's behind it. So mm-hmm. So if, for instance, if the, I don't know what senator introduced it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We got the letter.
Myron Dorn.
But if he does that, say at the direction or request of the governor's office, mm-hmm. then sometimes these things, like the assessor deal, sometimes they're inevitable, and it's going to happen. And I'm not saying that this is one of them, mm-hmm. but if, when you get to know what, you know, who's who's behind it. You know, maybe it might just be one person thinking this is a good idea and we're going to save money. But like Scott says, you know, as we learned with the assessor's office, you know, that was a, let's just say that was a challenge at the time. So I don't know, but it might be good to see who's behind it and see the, and that the person, the senator that introduced it, you know, a phone call to his office or his legislative assistant, like, hey, what's the deal?
Well, they're gonna, you know, they're gonna tell you what's in the.
Well, no, I mean.
Bill, anyway.
Right,
I mean,
right. But what's the push? What's the push behind it?
Well, they're gonna tell you what
their whole objective is, or what their whole game plan is.
Right. Right.
When do we need to have a letter for you, Kathy? I don't know when.
I'm trying to remember when the vote is. We need to have it, I think, within.
I've got a letter.
The letter?
Together.
Yeah, she's got one.
Okay.
Whatever you decide.
The sooner the better. I'm trying to remember what the date is.
I like it. Sooner the better, like yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, this doesn't begin until 2023, July 1st of 2023, mm-hmm.
It's going through right now.
Me personally, but going forward after that. The office is going to make it, you know, that's mm-hmm. what's going to change in the office after that.
It would affect you personally if you do not.
If I do not run.
Rerun, correct.
Yes, correct. Yes.
And I would guess it's good for our county. I mean, I'm thinking court system, is it good to have local, the system local?
Right.
I don't know.
I believe it's first part of March is when they're going to start do the voting on it and all the letters, and they're going to have people actually going down there mm-hmm. to testify. And I believe just two are going to go down because of all the COVID. And
I'll tell you what I'll do is, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I'll make a I'm going to make a motion to request a letter of support from the board here in opposition of the LB 102. That's my motion.
I'll second that.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome. I'll get you the date from NAPO and then the date that has got to be in my.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys.
You bet. Appreciate it.
All right, item number E, a Verizon Connect GPS tool discussion. And let's see. Yeah, we got that in our packet here. Who's going to lead the discussion on this one? I know some people, was that you? I wrote zone? I'm not sure.
I can.
Okay. All right. We
had a meeting with.
If you don't mind, Fred, so you can hear. Fred, do you want to come up to the podium? Because this involves you and the sheriff. So you guys can hear what's going on, okay, if you don't mind.
The sheriff involved.
So we just we went over the Verizon Connect and we just looked as far as it keeps track of all your fleet, whatever you have, you know, that you're for having machines on, and it'll let you know where they are, when it's a neat deal. It has a check engine light on any of the equipment, so if your equipment has something that needs serviced, we'll do the oil changes or tell you when they need to be serviced. It would help you with your paperwork because I don't think the guys would have to come over on Monday and file. They just automatically go off of all their schedule. You could look back at every piece of equipment daily, weekly, monthly, whatever.
Now, and I don't know if you're aware, and I don't remember the program that we had back in 2011, but we did this program for a program similar to this for like 3 years. And obviously the sheriff wasn't involved because of the jeopardy of the computer system, for number one, knowing where the officers are at and et cetera. And plus they already have a program that's called MOC. If, like, say, for instance, if a deputy doesn't respond, they can pull it up and see. We tried it with the road department, and I think it was just more of a, I think the tool was more, and I was telling Janet this, more of a, and Fred can back me on this, but more of a trust issue of knowing where everybody's at. We're a small county, and I just, for seven blades, I just, me personally, I seen it, what it did for 3 years, and it was, to me, it was just throwing money out the door. It didn't make any sense to me, unless there's something different in this program that, I mean, it's been a long time ago that I recall of that. And I don't remember if they would tell you if the check engine light was on and all the above, but I just remember people calling and wanting to know what the website was so they could get on and track and see where the guys were at. It was just more of a tracking tool is what it was. I mean, that's what I recall. Do you recall something different?
We just found it, like you said, we had it for 3 years. We found it a little, or we didn't use it. We went through a federal disaster, a FEMA. They didn't use it either. As far as check engine lights, I mean, when these guys are operators, you got every light. I'm not worried about it. Oil changes or something like that.
It'll give you a monthly report, though, so when you fill out your biweekly, it'll give you that report, and you'll know exactly what...
It'll give you... They still will have to do their timesheets, so they'll have to come in on Monday. If they're not running a piece of equipment, they still write out what their daily activities are.
But if you get that report, it'll tell you what road was graded what day. And then if somebody called, my road ain't been graded for 2 months, you're going to know it was.
We have a written one. We do that every day.
Well, they say, you guys just faked it. This way it'd be pretty hard to do to destroy the information in this thing.
Is there somebody here from the company?
No. The gentleman that takes care of this area is out of Colorado, and we did that. We'd call like a Zoom meeting, Joan, or something like that, with the individual. And they do sheriff's department too. They have cameras. We don't know if it intertwines with everything they do, so we didn't get that far into it. But it'd be great to know where everybody's at, what they're doing, and you can keep track of everything.
It's even a safety thing. If they go out there and they have a problem, also where the cell phone don't work, and there's a lot of areas out there where the cell phones don't work, so they couldn't communicate with anybody else, and it'd be okay on a road that's well-traveled, but there's areas out there that don't get
well. Well, like you said, we've tried it for 3 years, and it's been very little beneficial. Never had any problems with safety. We got radios, cell phones.
I thought they depended on their cell phones.
They depend more on their telephones, but every piece of equipment has a radio in it also.
And the radio will work anywhere in the county?
Yes. Just no same radio as the sheriff's department.
I wonder if it'd be helpful to do a demo with Jolene and you. I mean, if this is a different system. What system was that one, do you know?
That we used three,
yeah,
for 3 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a GPS system.
It's electronic engineering, I think.
Yeah. I don't recall what it was. And Joan,
do you remember what it cost? Because the price on this is really inexpensive.
Pretty, yeah.
So and also on the cost. So I saw there's no initial costs.
They set everything up for free, I'm assuming.
Right. And so
installation.
I don't know. Do they so they put an actual piece of equipment on?
It's just a little box that they'll put up under the dash or something. Yeah. And then they plug into the OBD2 port, like on if the equipment has that or whatever. And, you know, the check engine light comes on, somebody ran out of antifreeze, it's getting hot, it would come to Kevin or if he's the mechanic, or maybe I could get it on my phone. Or
so, okay, let me just kind of grasp what your guys are thinking. Obviously, the sheriff is not even going to be an option on this deal. Okay, I understand that. Now, what your guys is thinking as far as the road equipment? Are you thinking just the blades only, or are you thinking
all
the pickups?
All the pickups and the blades.
You want everything.
Yeah. Why not?
I don't know. I'm just asking the question.
All the companies I do business with, they all have that. That is the thing. Everybody keeps track of everybody these days. I mean, this is 2021. This is the way the world's going.
When you see one of the gravel trucks down there by Cadillac having lunch at a Mexican restaurant, you'll know it.
I guess if you're...
So I wonder if we could maybe set up another Zoom with you and Jolene to kind of take a look at it for paperwork, and I mean, if it helps with efficiencies, that's what I'm thinking, it would be good.
So how is that, the information that they're putting out, does that go to one particular
user? You can set it up on your phone if you want to. You can set it up on your iPad. You can set it up on your laptop, whatever.
Well, I don't want to, but...
But that's what it's capable of doing.
It is, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and there's no...
So like Larry and I, we could put it on a smartphone or a laptop or whatever. Right. We wanted to see what they're doing for the week, you know, because we can't drive around and look all day, every day at everybody's machine and see what's
Fred,
happening.
You don't really have time. You got plenty of office work to do, so you can't really be out and about.
If I ever want to know what they're doing, I call them and ask them where they're at and what they're doing, and then go find out. That's the way it's always been. I've never had a problem.
But
we got two guys in Homer, and the one wasn't out today. What was he doing?
So he was at the shop. We actually had a safety meeting.
Well, one guy was out, but the other guy wasn't, though.
And I said one was at the shop. We had a safety meeting. One decided that he didn't want to attend it, so we did.
So he didn't come.
We have, with NIRMA, we set up certain safety meetings at a certain time anymore, so they zoom them in, just like the meeting he's talking about at a time. And that today was the day.
Only thing I can say is, if you want to micromanage the road department, good luck. That's all I got to tell you.
I'm wondering if we should table this right now. We got to make a phone call to VSL at 4 o'clock.
I think I'd like to make a motion to do it.
I would do. Ain't gonna hurt trying. It's not very expensive. We spend more money than that than today.
How long is the commitment?
A year.
A year.
And so, Joan, how much was it for the roads department? It was like less than $400 a month, wasn't it? Because don't we have everything figured in here?
It was $376.95 a month for 4 semi-trucks, 10 pickups, and 7 graders. $4,523.40 a year.
So what if a piece of that equipment that they install gets broke?
They come back and fix it.
So our only cost would be the monthly fee.
Yep, and we have a year contract. So, I mean, worst case scenario, it's that times 12. So.
Did somebody just say 4,523.
Why don't we put that money towards a new mower? That makes more sense. More shot.
Well, Moe's, jeepers, Gary.
And Moe's nothing.
Say, as far as the sheriff's office, we've got it twice. We have it on our cameras and we have it in Mock. The software we have on our cameras, I don't think anybody's used. Because we have Mock. Mock is a whole separate.
Is that live?
Yes. But the only people to see Mock is other law enforcement and CompSec.
So your motion was again?
To put it on the roads department.
One year. And Fred seconded it?
Yes. I'll
Larry. Oh, okay. Larry, sorry.
No, Fred.
Yeah, I was just looking that way. Okay.
Scott.
I'm not going to know. Just tell me that I'm putting down no, right? I mean, it just makes no sense. So I'm no, but that's all right.
Well.
Well, okay, listen, we're all not going to agree on everything. That's
right.
That's the way it is.
It's a great way to hold people accountable.
Let's, I mean, it's...
do a roll. Okay. We've got a
Janet?
Motion in a second. I'll say okay. Yes.
Scott?
Negative.
Bob?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy. Negative today, aren't I?
You're all right, Scott.
But I do think it'd be good to do a kind of a presentation to the folks that really need to use it.
Well, they'll like it, I think.
Yeah.
I think they would be happy to do that, too.
Yeah. So for tracking, I think for...
I'll be curious to see how much it gets really tracked, is what I'm curious about.
But a demo so that they're aware how to use it.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
So we need to recess right now because we have to make we have to actually kind of stop the commissioners meeting and go to Board of Equalization because there's a topic on there for VSL, correct?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so I'll make a motion to recess.
Thank you. Vote. We're going to recess.
We don't.
Just temporarily
just
to make one item on the BOE.
We get a lot more.
359. What? Oh. 359. Am I supposed to call somebody?
Yes.
Okay. Like on my cell phone? Or on that phone?
Probably have better luck with your phone.
Okay. All right, and on the BOE, I think the items, if you want to pull out your Board of Equalization, well, you're the BOE guy, sorry. So let's see here. It's
the BOE guy.
Okay, Troy, let's see, I think it's items 6 and 7, those two parcels. And we have, do we need to go through this? Do we do this whole agenda? Or do we just hop down to those?
We need to call the Board of Equalization to order and then go immediately to that item. We were supposed to call him between 3:45 and 4.
Okay. So this one is on hold. You want to call your meeting to order?
Yes. I call the meeting to order. And so do we do the pledge again?
We don't have to do the pledge again, do we?
No. Okay.
Okay. Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay.
And do I have to say about the current copy of the Open Meetings Act?
Yes, you should.
Okay. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance.
Okay, and jump to item 6 and 7.
So we just go straight to 6 and 7?
Are you going to call?
Oh, you're going to call? Go ahead.
Okay.
Who they want?
Turn the volume now.
Hello? 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 Is this Brian?
It is.
All right, Brian. This is Janet Gill. I'm a chair of the County Commissioners Group, and then we just opened our Board of Equalization meeting to talk about your item, which is... Go ahead, Troy.
Pleasure to meet you, Janet.
Yep.
Okay, Troy, I'm taking care of the Board of Equalization, and I guess we're going to go down to 6 and 7. For 6 is, first of all, parcel 22-0001332, and then 7 is parcel 22-0107378.
Should probably open the public hearing. That's okay. What this is for.
Okay, so we're going to open the public hearing.
And accept testimony from VSL.
Okay, and accept testimony from VSL.
So you're on there.
And are we ready for him to give
his
testimony?
Yep.
Okay, so we're ready for you.
Okay. Well, I'm Brian Stewart, CFO of Better Senior Living. What I'm going off of is simply the handouts that we have provided, going on almost 2 years ago now at this point, to the board, as well as Jeff Curry at the time. I'm not sure what the Board of Equalization has in front of them this afternoon. I assume whatever was provided in the email to me last week that they had given to you. So I'll give you a kind of a breakdown of what we've done before, as well as kind of where it currently sits. VSL Emerson LLC is considered a 501c3 nonprofit entity. It is owned by Better Senior Living, which is a Nebraska limited liability company as well, which is a single member. VSL Emerson lands as an entity underneath Better Senior Living itself, therefore obtaining the 501c3 properties of Better Senior Living. When we applied for tax exemption for this facility, we essentially, you know, we knew the criteria of what it took to meet tax exemption status. We submitted that information to the board. Really, it landed in five requirements for tax exemption. One of those being the property is owned by an educational, religious, charitable, or cemetery organization. Two being the property is used exclusively for religious, educational, charitable, or cemetery purposes. Three, the property is not used for financial gain or profit to either the owner or the user. Four, the property is not used for the sale of alcoholic liquors for more than 20 hours per week. And lastly, five, the property is not owned or used by an organization which discriminates in membership or employment based on race. When we originally applied for tax exemption, we did lay out the basis of how we feel that we meet all five of those criteria unequivocally. as well as lay out the case law in the state of Nebraska that indicates that skilled nursing facilities who qualify for tax exemption based on their 501c3 nonprofit status, as well as meeting those criteria, should be granted that tax exemption. One of those being Lutheran Good Samaritan Society versus Gage County in Nebraska, which is a case back in 1967. A Bethesda Foundation versus Saunders County, which was also a case back in 1978. We also laid out court cases was Good Samaritan Society versus Buffalo County, and that was in 1988 as well. So all of those cases were essentially for nonprofit long-term and assisted living facilities who were granted tax exemption with the way they were structured, both as a 501c3 nonprofit and as well as meeting the five criteria that I previously kind of laid out. I won't go through all of the data that we presented. I trust the board has been able to review that data. I also don't want to bore you also, but I'm happy for any questions. One thing that I know came up with Jeff previously was if we had applied ever in any other counties in the state of Nebraska for our facilities. Better Senior Living owns and operates many facilities across the state of Nebraska, 25 in particular. Of those facilities, 12 of them are eligible for tax exemption as being a nonprofit. We have applied and had previously applied for those 12 facilities in various counties across the state of Nebraska, which accounted for 11 counties: Boone County, Fox Butte County, Buffalo County, Butler County, Custer County, Dodge County, Jefferson County, Lancaster County, Lincoln County, Sherman County, and Webster County. All counties in Nebraska that we applied for, except for Dakota County, did approve our tax exemption status. We also received approval. We do also do business in Kansas as well as Iowa, and both of those states where three facilities are located also approved our tax exemption. Now, I know those are other states, but simply providing that as a point of reference. We did provide financial information to Jeff Curry as well as the Board of Equalization when the original application was completed. I can provide further information on that financial position of the facility, but as of 6 months ending December 31st, 2020, this facility had lost a total of nearly $58,000. Current census at the facility is set up to accept essentially 38 residents. Current census is 30 residents at the facility as of today. We serve 16 Medicaid residents, 11 private, and we have three that are currently on Medicare or insurance as a primary source of payment. As we shared with Jeff and the board previously as well, it's not uncommon for facilities in the state of Nebraska or any other state, for that matter, across the nation, to lose money and to not recover costs on a Medicaid resident. That is something, you know, just unfortunately, the Medicaid rates in the state of Nebraska do not reimburse us enough to cover our costs. That average Medicaid loss per day on a resident, and it can vary based on where census is at, is between $20 to $30 per day for our facility currently. At this point, we had previously provided a tremendous amount of information. I know when Jeff and the board reviewed it previously, for some reason they felt that we did not qualify, that we did not meet the criteria. We don't know exactly the reasons why we don't meet that criteria according to the decision that was made, thus why we pursued it to, and will be pursuing it until the TURP level if approval is not given. I think, you know, 12 facilities in 11 counties across Nebraska, if you speak to those county assessors as well as the county attorneys in those counties, all agreed with our position on it. We don't really know why, exactly why Jeff or the board are not approving, but we would just graciously ask for reconsideration, I guess, to the current board. So I'm open to any questions at this point. I'm happy to go through any of the documentation that was provided to you, and I'll answer any questions you might have.
I just have a question to start it off, and your name was what?
My name is Brian.
Brian? Okay, thanks, Brian. So the Board of Equalization, we cannot make any decision today on this case, correct? Because it's in Turk?
You can, yes, you can.
Well, that's...
It's our understanding you can.
So my other question is, so if I own 12 nursing homes, 10 of them are making money, and two of them aren't, am I a... So the two that aren't, then, does that fall under the nonprofit? How does that work?
Well, I mean, to be classified as a nonprofit, that's a technically a legal structure through the IRS. So that's granted by the IRS itself, which is recognized by the state of Nebraska, of course. You know, in this situation with a facility that's losing money, you may have some, which we do. We have many properties or several properties that do make a profit. Those profits stay within that entity, and those entities also help support those that are losing. So, you know, as nonprofits, whether it be in the state of Nebraska or across the nation, you know, yes, you have the designation as a nonprofit, but you still have to make a profit to function as a company or as an entity. So for us, none of the profits of our company, none of them go to a board. We have a board of directors, but none of them go towards the board. All profits, if any, go within the company itself, stay within the company and within the entity itself. Does that help answer your question?
Well, yeah, kind of. I guess I'm a little bit confused on the... you can be classified as a non... I think you said you can be classified as a nonprofit and make money.
Sure you can, yes.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, any company has to make money to stay in business. I mean, you look at any nonprofit, you know, they can't operate at a negative. Otherwise, eventually, they're gonna go under. So any company in the state of Nebraska or any other across the nation, they have to have some sort of profit to stay operational. Those profits typically stay within the operation itself to keep them functioning as a nonprofit. So similar to our company, similar to any other nonprofit across the nation, those profits stay within the nonprofit entity itself to support future operations as well as the entity itself to stay afloat.
Right. So I'm assuming there's some guidelines on how much you can make. Correct?
Not for nonprofits, no. You have to show that you're charitable and, again, meet the five criteria that define nonprofit status, but there's no financial criteria that is set, you know, in the state of Nebraska or nationally that nonprofits have to stay within a certain dollar range, is my understanding, no.
So a nonprofit, then, you could make a couple hundred thousand or half a million for salaries or something like that and still be considered a nonprofit?
You could make a half a million for salaries? I guess I don't understand that question.
Well, not necessarily for salaries, but you can make a half a million dollars and still be a nonprofit?
You can, yeah. You look at hospital systems, Good Samaritan Society in the state of Nebraska.
Uh-huh.
You look at many, many hospital systems in the state of Nebraska that land under nonprofit status.
Uh-huh.
They are all making a profit.
Okay. I just wanted to know. I don't know, so that's why I'm asking.
Yep. That's how they stay afloat. That's how a lot of those profits, like in our case in this facility, you know, we do have, in this case, half of our residents are Medicaid. You know, that's how we have to help support those facilities that are, you know, higher Medicaid populations. Because we are, you know, again, like I said, losing an average cost of $20 to $30 per day on a Medicaid resident. So
okay. That's
how we keep operations afloat at facilities that with a higher Medicaid population in certain density areas.
How long will this be? When does this get heard by Turk? Are we getting close to that?
They
I believe it's been delayed till June or July, I believe. The Turk simply delayed it recently because there was a conflict of dates for us on our end. You know, like the previous question was, is can it be resolved today? It's our understanding, based on our conversation with our law firm, if the Board of Equalization decides to approve, we simply have to notify the Turk to let him know it's been approved and that the case will no longer need to go or be come before the Turk itself.
Okay, well, I'll tell you right now, I'm not comfortable with making a decision today, and I guess the no matter when it's decided, if it is ruled in your favor, you will get your exemption or credit or whatever that may be. So the time frame is not so vital for today, correct?
No, by all means, you don't have to make a decision today. This has just been ongoing for quite some time. When the Turk was originally scheduled, that's when Jeff Curry reached out to us a few weeks ago, indicating that the board may be willing to relook at it before it gets to the Turk. The Turk situation is one of those where, you know, as a board and as the county attorney, obviously your county attorney is going to have to, you know, typically it's a tremendous amount of information that they're going to have to provide to determine the stance as far as why the county is not approving or the board is not approving. The tax exemption status, but no, as far as the decision today, by all means, I would expect you to make a decision today. It's my understanding,
based on
my conversations with Jeff, that the board somewhat new as far as new members. So I would hope, you know, you've had the ability to look through the information that was provided. Like I said, I'm happy to answer questions today and provide further information if it's needed.
Okay, so is this all based on value, your value? Is that what the Turk decision is?
Well, the Turk is going to decide whether or not the facility itself will be considered tax exempt.
Okay, all right, I'm sorry. I got it.
Based on our applications, the 451 applications that were submitted the last couple of years.
Okay. And the other properties that you have, are they all, they're fully exempt? I mean, is there 50% exempt or 100, is it 100 or nothing? Is that what it is?
As far as the ones that were already approved by those separate counties that I mentioned, yes, they're all 100% approved.
Okay, all right. That's what
the
I need.
The only one that's not 100%, which is it's 54% approval, is in Lincoln County, which is our facility, BSL North Platte Estates. And that facility is a skilled nurse, or it's an assisted living facility, but it also has independent living on that same property. And so on that one, independent living, which we knew, independent living is not tax exempt for property. So we pay on the other percentage of that, we still pay taxes, but 54% is tax exempt based on the assisted living operation that's there. So skilled and assisted living technically are considered tax exempt in the state of Nebraska.
Okay.
BSL Emerson in this case is fully a skilled facility, skilled nursing facility.
Okay.
At this point, aren't we already going down the road of Turk?
Yeah, we're just going to let Turk rule on it, aren't we?
At this point.
Yeah.
Okay. Just thank him for his testimony.
Yeah. Well, I guess, one of the biggest things that, you know, when we spoke with Jeff, the last time I spoke with Jeff, and I'm not sure if Jeff is there today, but Jeff indicated that he's not seeing any reason why we wouldn't be tax exempt, so I'm not sure. You know, if he just read through the information closer or looked at something else, I'm not sure. It would be unfortunate, I guess, if we had to take this to the Turk. I mean, it's not something we ever wanted to do, but we need to better understand why the board and or, you know, the county assessor is not really approving. We don't know the basis of denial at this point either.
So, Christy, you want to share a little something on this or not?
Well, we have other nursing homes in the county where they exempt them too. They follow the Medicaid and Medicare rules, and none of them apply to this.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Well, the point was just made that we have other nursing homes in the county that have Medicare and Medicaid, and none of those are tax exempt. It was the point. I don't know if you want to answer that or comment on that or need to, for that matter.
I would be happy to. So as an example, yes, there are many nursing homes across not only Nebraska but across the entire nation that are not tax exempt, and that's because of the legal structure that they are currently in. You know, and I will say, so Better Health Services, Better Senior Living, basically Better Health Services has been around since 1978. For the first 40 plus years of our existence, we were considered a for-profit company based on our tax status or our legal structure. In 2017, Jack and Eldora Vetter, who were the sole owners of Better Health Services, Vetter Holding, essentially, they gifted all of their facilities into Vetter Senior Living, which is a 501c3 nonprofit. At that point, that's when we applied for tax exemption. And so before 2017, we were considered a for-profit company. 2017 and after, when Jack and Eldora created Vetter Senior Living and gifted the entire organization, all facilities, into the nonprofit, that's when we became essentially a 501c3 nonprofit. That's when the facilities were essentially eligible for tax exemption. So before this, before 2017, we were not eligible, similar to what you see with other facilities in the state of Nebraska, nor did we apply for tax exemption when we were a for-profit. Legally, we're structured as a nonprofit now, like I said, as of July 1 of 2017, when that became official. That's when we officially could apply for tax exemption, because we were then considered a nonprofit entity, a 501c3. So I would agree with you. There are facilities in the state of Nebraska, even locally for you, that are for-profit entities that are not eligible for tax exemption, regardless if they accept Medicaid or not. So that's the difference between the two. Does that help answer that question, I guess?
It does.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's any, I don't think there's any other questions. I guess we're just gonna see what happens with the Turk case and go from there.
Well, I guess if anything would happen, we can take a look at it. I don't know, under the impression we can't do anything. However,
since this is a type of year, maybe they can.
So we'll take a look at it.
Yeah, we need to research all of
that. Yeah. So I guess we need some time to research this ourselves.
Okay.
And look into this a little
like
further.
Like I said, we're happy to provide any information to you. We're happy to have our law firm reach out to Kim, which they've done before. We are 100% confident this can be settled, essentially, or determined before it ever gets to Turk.
Do we have, just one last question, do we have all the information that we would need that the assessor's office has asked you for?
Yes, we have provided every bit of information that they've requested. We actually have gone there two or three times, not only to present before the board, but also to depose Jeff.
Okay, well, that's fine. If we do, then we will take a look at it.
Yeah, and we're happy to, again, provide if there's something you guys have further questions on or further information that you feel is missing, we're happy to provide that information as well.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we have, we're going to keep this under consideration, and we have your contact information.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yep. Thank you, Brian.
Bye-bye.
All right. Should we shut down the BOE temporarily and go back? Or how do we do that?
Yeah, we can recess back and take care of Natasha.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to resume.
Oh, we need to just state that we're going for recess.
Okay, we're going to go into recess.
We are.
The BOE is. Okay.
BOE is.
And now we're going to go back to, I'll call the commissioners back to order. There's just a few items left on our agenda. Item number 6, commissioner committee reports. Has anybody been to any committee meetings or have anything to report from there?
Why don't we just go to Natasha?
Okay. I do have some mail and emergency business. Two items on a mail emergency business. I'm sad to have to report that Natasha is going to be leaving us. She is resigning her position, and her final day at the health department will be March 12th. And she's done an outstanding job of getting us through the first year of COVID. Thank you. And she's asking that we look at an interim director, so we will be probably working with the health board to figure out how to. So anything you want to add to this, Natasha?
No, I'm hopeful that the Board of Health takes into consideration the current state of the health department, as busy as it is, that it's going to be nearly impossible to get a qualified candidate in and train, even started training by the time I leave. So if we can do somebody interim, but I've talked to Bob and I've we'll send emails out to the Board of Health to help me determine that. Thank you.
Thanks for everything, Natasha.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a fun road.
A whirlwind year for, because you just came in the week of our first case, wasn't it?
Yeah, my first official day on my own, we had 2 cases 3 days later. And then, you know, within a week, we had 300 cases. And then it just snowballed from there. So. Yeah.
Going to be reintroduced to your family.
And yes, they're going to be happy I'm home.
Good luck. Thank you.
And then the other emergency business or notation we got up in the mail from NACO, because they canceled a couple of trainings for our weed supervisor. We are short some training hours, but we just met with Matt before this meeting, and he's already made arrangements to attend a couple of trainings that are coming up in July and next fall. So hopefully we'll catch up on that. The fall ones he had intended to attend were canceled, so that's what happened. So I think we'll be good on this. Any other commissioner reports, emergency business, mail for the regular commissioner meeting? Nope.
Larry went to PNC, right?
Oh, that's Larry, planning and zoning.
Yeah, they're still changing the setbacks and other requirements.
And that, was there other things? Kind of something was the farmsteads, the campgrounds, and the conditional use? Are they?
That got settled on and voted on. That's going to be October 1st. They're going to be. No residents there then.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They can have the camper left there, and our building can stay there. But other than that, I mean, the camp people live there.
It'll be locked down. Yeah. Locked down. Okay.
Yeah, the farmstead deal, they come to an agreement there, and there's going to be a fence installed.
Okay.
It seems like the property or homeowner's okay with it. Yes.
Does anything need to come back to us regarding that or not?
Well,
once they settle it?
Well, we may have to sign off on it.
Okay.
As being such, but there was nothing. It wasn't anything really changed about animals.
Okay.
The animals will still be there.
Okay.
They
got to
be managed better.
And then there was a condition, and one other one that came to us, and then we gave it back to, there was a conditional usage or something.
That's right. Salvage a lot of junk cars, but the cars that are already brought in.
Joe asked me if I remember.
And then stored until they move them out. They're not wrecks, but sometimes the sheriff had to go pick them up, and then they leave them there until they can be released, and they sell them. Salvage the entire car, not scrapping cars out or whatever.
So they've verified the usage is okay for that property?
Yeah, they seem to be okay with that conditional use permit.
Okay, conditional use, okay.
Because if someone else has the same thing, got in, whether located, they felt it was okay. I guess it is. I've never been by them, but I've really never noticed all these cars. You know. Mm-hmm. I must set back. They do. In the summer, you don't see them at all because there's trees and stuff growing around, like weeds do. But,
all right. Yeah, they all come here and then they go there, and I always assume they're supposed to come back, but as long as they're solving them and we're getting, information, that's helpful. Any other comments from the commissioners? All right. We will adjourn this meeting and go back to Board of Equalization. 429.
Just got to talk to me back to order.
We reconvene it.
Okay. We're going to reconvene the Board of Equalization meeting. Do we have to do a roll call then?
Yes, probably should. Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, Christie.
Do I have to do the current copy of the meetings again?
No.
Okay, just move on to the consent agenda?
Yeah.
Okay, number one, consent agenda. Any individual item may be removed by a commissioner for special discussion and consideration. Unless there is an exception, these items will be approved as one single vote of the Board of Commissioners. A, approval of previous minutes, January 25th, 2021.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes. Okay, we'll move on to two, new business. A, 3:30 p.m. public hearing for applicants requesting tax exemption on real estate personal property by qualifying organizations for purpose of hearing oral and or written testimony from the qualifying organizations who filed for tax exemption form 451-77-20201.
Is there anyone else here? VSL spoke? Yeah. Okay, we got someone else.
Okay. Do we?
You're going to go down the list, or how do you want to do it?
He's ever here, I guess, at the
moment. I don't think Boys and Girls is here.
Boys and Girls gave me a phone number if we had any questions. Not, they didn't want to call unless we had questions.
Theirs were just offering a partial exemption because they're renting out part of the building, and the state told us that we should be taxing them on the part they're renting out, regardless if it's a discount or not. Because they're saying they're only renting to startup businesses or businesses that are non-profit. So they told us it didn't matter, that we should tax them on the space they're running out. So
I haven't heard that one.
It's a partial exemption. That's a Turk case also.
Okay. That's a Turk case?
Yep. It's not scheduled.
Okay.
The Wat Buturong, or however you say that, that's the Buddhists off of Old Highway 20. They bought some ground from the city, and they haven't transferred over to their name yet, but they're in the process, and it's connected to their property.
Yeah. Right along Highway 20, and it's in their backyard.
Yeah. It's trees right connected to their property.
Yep.
So we didn't have any problem with that one.
So that one's okay.
That one's tax exempt.
Yeah. And I think, what's his name from Kramer's office is working with them, and he knows about it, and he's supposed to be helping them out. Their para.
Randy?
Randy. There you go. He's supposed to be helping them. Couldn't think of his name. The Legion, they're here. We have no problem with them. They just hadn't applied in a few years, so they had to reapply. We have no problem with them.
Okay. No, they hadn't applied. We kept sending them out, and they just came back, and nobody would ever come in.
This year's running.
You got it in this year. No, nope, you're good.
Listen to him. They haven't. Like you should
we
be like,
it this
well,
year.
What?
It came and it says approved.
Yes.
Okay,
we approved it, but yeah, it has to go before the board because it's considered a okay. So, no, we don't have a problem with
so
the
this
Legion.
One's a tax exempt?
We have no problem with the Legion.
Okay. It's a yearly?
Well, they hadn't applied for a few years, so they had to start over.
But
so next year, that'll just be a renewal.
Okay.
We honestly tried to get a hold of somebody. Nobody would tell us who to call. We tried.
I love the frustration. He's been sitting here for an hour and a half. He's like, really?
That's good
news. Hey,
thank
have a good night.
Coming.
Thanks for going.
Thanks for coming.
That's classic. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. Just look on his face is priceless.
Like, what?
Yeah, we actually tried to call him, too.
Right.
The next one we have is Glad Tidings. They're a pending Turk case as well. The only suggestion we have for them is we do have one lot we would consider changing to tax exempt if they would combine it with another piece.
That's us here.
Yes, but the other one we won't consider exempt. It's not contiguous with the church.
Not for what?
Not contiguous with the church?
No, it's not, but it's right kitty corner with that.
But it's not contiguous.
But it's still our property and it's still for church use, so I don't understand why we still have it to make for our churches and to advance our church.
So let me get this straight, Chrissy. So the 419 is not in Turk case right now? It's just not?
Yeah, it's a Turk case for 20. They just haven't scheduled it yet.
Okay.
They haven't scheduled the Turk case for your last Turk.
No, oh, you mean the fill that we said?
Yes, they haven't scheduled it yet.
So the
yeah,
one,
but I was curious too about the one with the adjoining property, the landlocked.
We would consider this one if you would combine it with one of the ones next to it. But the other one, no.
How do we go about doing it?
You would have to come in and just sign a paper saying you would combine it.
And what would that mean?
It would just combine it with one of these other properties, and then it would be contiguous with something that was contiguous with the church.
So we could
this
do
one
that
down here,
just
no.
That's the 3 half lots.
That's the land block already.
Yeah, she said we can combine it.
That one you could combine with something else in block 52.
So we just go where to do that?
You have to come to our office. We'll have to write something up, and you can sign it.
And your office is here?
The assessor's office.
I just call you then? Or the assessor's office?
Yeah, you have to come in and sign it.
Okay, we can't do it today.
I don't know. It's closed.
Yeah. Okay.
This one, no, because it's not contiguous with the church.
No, it's not contiguous at all, but it's part of our investment of our church for further use and to be able for a parking lot and as we grow, of course. The growth
you would have to have it already done, though, for it to be considered exempt. You can't just have a lot and not do anything on it to improve.
Well, but if the kids use it,
it's not that doesn't count.
If we park our van,
if they poured cement,
if you would have an actual parking lot there, they would consider it just a bare lot. No.
So how would we go about making it an actual parking lot? A driveway?
No, you would have to pave it.
Pave it?
It has to be parking or a street. Like the other ones are, have an actual street on them, and we did make those exempt that had your side street coming in. We made those all exempt. The only ones we did not make exempt were ones that had nothing to do with the driveway or something down here that wasn't contiguous with the church.
So you're saying that needs to be paved? Because
you would have to do something to improve it.
Like gravel or
I don't even know what gravel.
Well, our bigger church parking lot is rock. Okay, it's not. It's
but
not.
You have access off of Main Street.
Yeah, you do. And that would be access off of Main Street. Main Street.
But that it's not doesn't do anything for the church. You're not doing anything to him. It doesn't improve the church. It would have to have an improvement on it. A parking lot, a building, a shed. You would have to pave it though, or something. It have to be some kind of an improvement.
Does it have to be paved?
It has to be an old.
No, it doesn't have to be.
It would have to be some kind of an improvement. Just
like an opening to show the driveway.
Well, I don't think an opening would qualify it. I guess we'd have to go to church. I guess I don't know. So in your Oisin told it has to be an improvement.
And when I understand it's still in the fields with.
Yes, it's with the church. Yep.
So does the board here make a decision?
Can we make a decision?
Yeah.
I don't think we're in a position right now to make a decision because.
No, I'm pretty sure.
Well,
if we could just maybe open up a driveway to it and park our cars.
We rely a lot on Christy and her office staff because we're not involved with that. So what she's telling you is what she knows from how many years?
No more.
But 20 years.
Sure, right.
So yes, I think the point is that yes, this board could, but we rely on our staff for guidance. And if not us, then it's the state.
Yeah.
It's just a once a year activity doesn't come to using that one for something like a church. You have to use it all the time, and it's not used like that.
Sending people there.
That don't make sense because every parking lot in church is not used every day.
But it's still there. It's permanent.
Yeah.
There's nothing on that lot. You could easily sell it to somebody in those houses to use them as an improvement for their yard. Because that would be the highest and best use for it.
If we bought it, just
so
you keep it.
But you would have to do something with it. It just can't sit there.
make a building on it, or... But we're still with Lincoln.
Yes, Phil Lincoln.
And then I will just call the assessor office, and we can sign the...
Yep, we'll find something that says we want to buy my house.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Okay.
Okay, so can I make a motion by going down?
No, the public hearing is still...
Okay.
You want to close it?
So we're done with B. We don't have to move to B because we've already taken care of that, right?
You haven't done. You're still on A.
Still on A.
We have...
She's just going through these, so you know.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, sorry.
So we need to close the public hearing.
If everyone's done.
So I can go ahead and close it?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to close it.
Okay.
Public hearing is closed.
4:40.
The other lot, does that jump over some?
It's connected to the parking, but it's still, they don't do anything with it. It's just an empty...
Just empty lot. Like you said, they could do something with it. They want to sell it.
They could sell that other one to the people by it, and they'd have extra yards. They don't do anything with it. It just sits there.
Which one is that? It ends in not 419, or are you talking...
69?
369.
This is the one they could combine with, like, these over here.
Which one?
Which one? The other one sits clear over here, and here's the church. They don't even do anything with it. There's nothing on it.
Is that like, what is a, is that a street? Is it across the street?
Yeah, it's across the street.
Oh, my.
Oh, so it's not even in the block?
No.
Look here.
It's 10th Street.
Which one is...
This is the one that...
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Here's their church.
Yeah.
Yeah, the church is up here.
She's going to let them...
It's not even in the ballpark.
Yeah, the church is right here. No.
She's going to let them combine these into one parcel and make this exempt. But the one over here...
Has nothing to do...
See, this is B Street right here, and this is 9th Street. And this 10th Street comes to a dead end to their church.
Yeah.
Is what happens. They have an empty lot over here where they have an access road off of 9th Street right here.
Yep.
That goes in, that you're allowing that.
And why they cut across these ones, I'm not sure, because like you said, they could come in 10th and park. I don't know why they, you know...
Well, here's their church. I'm not even, okay. Well, they really don't need more parking.
No.
No, they got way more parking than what they could ever use.
Exactly.
So if... And when you say they need to make an improvement, it's a physical building or something.
It's quite a bit. It's a good-sized lot.
It looks big.
How much is the taxes on it?
Why do you think they're...
Or build a new church?
I didn't even figure it out.
You see how that they're one big, the other one's pretty big. Looks like preschool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But they'd be an improvement.
Yep. Then it would be tax exempt.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so the public hearing is closed, so can we go down these parcel numbers so we can...
Go to B?
B, yeah.
Can I? So I'm going to go to B. Board to approve portion or deny request for tax exemption on real and personal property for the following qualifying organizations. Number one, parcel 22-01-54074, Boys and Girls Home in Nebraska.
That's a partial exemption.
Partial exemption.
I thought that was going to Turk.
I thought it was too.
Oh, okay.
It is.
For the partial exemption.
Yeah. We made them reapply since we denied it. Partial exemption last year.
So do we need a motion on that one, or each one separately here?
What are we going to do?
Portion or deny? I would do...
Well, if we're not going to change anything, we can approve it all, right? Or deny, whatever Christie says.
Approve a partial exemption.
Yeah.
Approve a partial exemption. I'll make a motion to approve the partial exemption on Boys and Girls Home, parcel 22-01-54074.
Okay, I'll second it.
Sorry. Scott.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Okay, we'll move on to two. Parcel 2202-74438, Wat Butterum?
Butharm.
Butharm of Siouxland Incorporated.
Okay, I'll make a motion to accept the exemptions from the assessor's office.
Second. No, it's approved.
It's approved? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's approved, okay. Mm-hmm. Approved. Okay. I haven't been confused in a long time, but I'm confused today. I'm very confused.
4438 is the last of the parcel numbers. It's for approval.
For approval.
Okay. Robert.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Okay, we'll move to three. Parcel 22-000-1146, Ryan McIntoffer, Legion Post 60.
Can I make a motion for approval?
I don't know.
And I'll second it.
Okay, that's perfect. It is exempt, yes. Yeah. I did make a motion for approval. All right, that went smooth.
Right? Is that right, Christy?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I have no problem with the Legion. Yeah. They just forgot to apply.
Okay.
Bring that guy back here.
That was awesome. I would laugh on that all day long.
Second that?
I did.
Like
Larry?
Very much.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move to four. Parcel 22-00-41-369, Glad Tidings Lighthouse of South Sioux City.
Were those two together in a Turk case or not?
Yes. They're two Turk cases. Yeah.
Oh, they're two Turk cases. Mm-hmm. Okay, they are two Turk. Okay.
So you have that one down as
denied.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
we could do that one if they were willing to combine it with the parcel next to it.
Okay, this. Like, they say they're going to come in and do that. Do
yeah,
we table
and that
one?
We would do that. Approval then if that was contingent
upon them signing
yeah, contiguous
okay.
or yeah. Contingent, I guess.
Okay, so contingent on the signing of a letter for
combining
the parcels. Okay,
yeah.
On number 69 and 19.
What? No, 19 is the one that we're going to deny.
Oh, 19 to deny it. Okay, on 69 then. I thought
yes.
you. I'm done. I ain't talking no more. You guys just said, I'm not talking no more. Done. Low on sugar.
Give that guy a can of pop.
Jeez Louise.
So, Scott, who made that motion?
Scott did.
Scott,
somehow.
I think he made it and seconded it, too.
And, yeah, I think I
seconded
it.
Seconded it.
I'd almost do that.
Okay, Troy.
Yes.
Janet.
And this, let me just clarify. This is the one that they're going to tie together.
Yes.
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 They
okay.
yes.
If they combine them.
Yep.
Scott.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to move to five, then parcel 22-00-40-419, Glad Tidings Lighthouse of South Sioux City.
This is the one I make a motion
this
that we deny.
This is the one that's across the street that they don't do anything.
This is the motion, okay.
Deny.
You want to deny it, right,
yeah,
Christy?
Yeah, I'll deny.
We're going to deny that one because it's not contingent.
Contiguous with the
contiguous.
Other
contiguous.
Yes.
Contiguous.
Just say seconds ago.
I'm going to second it.
Okay. Janet.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes. Okay. So we still do six and seven, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to move to number six, parcel 22-00-01332, BSL Emerson LLC.
I'll make a motion to deny.
Second.
Scott.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Okay, move to seven. Parcel 22-01-0737 ABSL Emerson LLC.
I'll make the motion to deny that one as well.
I'll second.
Has the board ever cut back and made a decision like now?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's all I need to know.
Robert.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Okay. Move to C. Christy Apps, assessor, requesting approval of tax list corrections. How do you pronounce your last name, by the way? Is it Apps?
Apps.
Apps. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's see. The first one is Betty Cooper. That was a letter from the state. They changed, the Department of Revenue changed hers from 70% to 90%. So there's nothing that we did on that one. That came from the state. They changed her homestead for last year, 2020. So that was nothing we did. That was from the state. The next one is the Pender Community Hospital District. No, it's not. I'll take it back. It's not. 98, 82.
Whichever one you want to go to.
Yeah, we'll go to 82, I guess.
Okay.
That's Mark Nyberger. He had a property that had an IOL on it. He got charged for the trailer that wasn't his at the time. It is now, but it wasn't in 2020. It was Rod and Mindy Harris's. And so we took the trailer off. That's just the correction of taking the trailer off. So he should have just been charged for the land.
How much is the trailer?
Not much. It's like $116 in tax.
74 cents?
It's not real good.
Okay.
Then we go to the Pender Community Hospital District. I had, and Kim, maybe you can answer this. I had an email from the Schaefer in Lincoln about a hospital district. Does that have to be voted on in our county? If it's a hospital district that's set up in Thurston, Dixon, and Wayne, to cross county lines, does our board have to vote on it?
Ooh, I don't know without looking.
Okay, because I asked him and he says, well, I don't think so, but you need to ask your county attorney. Because I know it never came up for a vote if they could build a clinic in Emerson. So that's what this correction is. It's the Pender Clinic, and they seem to think they're exempt.
Since 1950.
Because they're a hospital district, which is considered like, they explained it like a fire district. When Joan and I talked to the auditor, you don't charge your fire department, so you shouldn't charge your hospital district.
How does that differ from the VSL thing that we're...
Well, these people can charge a levy. They haven't.
They're like a subdivision. They're like a school or a
fire department. Yeah, they can charge a levy. I don't know. Will they ever charge a levy, Joan?
If they can, they probably will.
So if they're in Emerson now, we might start collecting for them?
Good.
A levy?
It's never been brought up, so that's why I didn't know if we had to vote on it.
We're not in their district, are we? Don't. Most of those subdivisions have boundaries.
Mm-hmm. When it was set up, our county was not in their
setup. In that boundary, so how could they go outside their boundary, build something, and then
say... And say, oh, by the way, we're exempt. Yeah, and I asked him that, and he didn't seem to know. Because I said, well, our board never voted on it, so that's like $400,000.
That's the value of the building. It says $675,000.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money.
Hmm. So. Tax, over $12,000 in taxes.
And we're refunding them.
Mm-hmm. They hadn't paid the first 2 years, it was just the land value, like $50.
Mm-hmm.
But this
built
year,
on it yet.
Mm-hmm. For 20, it's.
They got
it's
a clinic
the
on there, and
yeah.
It's a lot of money.
It's $11,000. Granted, they hadn't paid it yet. So that covers those 3 years. 18, 19, and 20,
excuse me. So. We talked to Deanne Hefner, which is the state auditor's office. She seemed to think that they could, right?
She said hospital districts are exempt. But like we said, how can they cross county lines?
I wonder if they didn't even know it. They just assumed that they were still in Dixon County or Thurston County.
Thurston County, because Pender's in Thurston County.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they said it was like Thurston, Wayne, and I want to say like Cumming County, maybe?
They originally
set the hospital district up in. Our county was not one that was originally set it up in.
Would this be something that we have somebody look at? For TURC or?
It's not a TURC. It's not a TURC.
It's not a TURC case? Mm-hmm. Boy, that's great. We have all these Emerson things today. The VSL, the Legion Hall, and now the clinic in Emerson. That seems kind of strange, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. So the Lincoln lawyer I talked to, he was no help, pretty much. He gave me the statutes for hospital districts, but he didn't answer my question when I said our vote, board didn't vote on it.
And we're not in the district.
They built it on the wrong side of the street, huh?
They used to rent on the other side of the street. Or, yeah, that's where the office used to be.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
They now put it across the street?
Yeah, old building they were in for years.
That's interesting.
And then the next two...
Can we just deny it and see what they do, or no?
I don't know, I guess it's kind of gotten bullied by mall. And Pender.
We deny it goes to Turk, right, or...
Well, I did it.
Well, you did it.
Because it was a hospital district, but the more I got to thinking about it, if our board didn't approve it, how can they cross county lines?
Could we approve them all but that one and table that one for more research?
It's a tax list correction, it's not a...
Oh, it's not.
It's just, yeah, it's just a tax list correction.
I think we should look into that more, like...
It's...
Or...
Because they haven't paid it yet. But...
You could come back with it.
I can redo it, I mean, I can take it out.
I mean...
It's not a problem, but...
Yeah.
Pull it out?
I think you need to, I'd pull it out.
Pull it out.
That's what I would do. Look at it.
More research.
Yeah, if you're questioning it afterwards, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's almost like DSL, they say they're a nonprofit too, but we're kind of going...
Are they a 501(c)?
That's what they're saying, in 2017 they became...
Anybody can be a 501(c).
Senior looking is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blood Brothers, can they be...
501(c), CC? What the heck? Anyways, go ahead, we got two more?
Probably, and they may, yeah.
Yeah.
The other two were just trailers they jumped or moved out of the county.
It's a 501.
Yeah.
We can collect the taxes on. So, I don't know, Kim, he said to talk to you about it, is what Scott Schaefer told me. Because I know you want to look.
If he does my jury trials on that evening, I got three, then I'll try to...
So, I guess, whatever, I mean...
So, can I make a motion to...
It would be nice to know if there was any other like, yeah.
So am I able right now to make a motion to accept all the tax corrections except the Pender Hospital?
Looking into the Pender Hospital.
Yeah, you're looking into the...
98, 86.
Is that okay? Yeah, 86. Is that okay?
I'll second that one.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
Okay, we'll move to three, mail and or emergency business. Is there any? No. We'll go to four, public comment. No one is here. No public comment.
I would double check, I'd double say, double question it.
And five is gonna be adjournment.
Woo-hoo. All right. All right, okay, that's pretty good. There was a lot of stuff on those two agendas, that's less than 2 hours, guys.
Wow.